What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're with Ty Zamora, of course, from former base of Alien Ant Farm, but we're going to learn about all the other things he's done, because I've came to find out that he's a jack of all trades, and he's been involved in many projects, so we're definitely going to touch on all that. So how are you, man? How you been?
I'm good. I've been really busy.
Yeah.
I have three kids, so and they're all pretty active, like in acting and music and sports and stuff like that. So, and I'm like the primary parent, so I have to run them around and then do what I do after that.
Well, I guess it's good to be busy, though, right? That ain't a bad thing.
Oh, I love being busy. I'm not good at being stagnant. I like doing a bunch of stuff here.
I feel you, man. So, I guess let's start out with, because I'd like to know what you've been up to as of late. I know I've seen you were playing with a Slightly Stupid, and then I've also seen like some of your other bands, like, and correct me if I'm pronouncing it wrong. Is it Make?
Meek.
Meek. Okay, I'm sorry. So if you want to kind of just hit on like all your projects, all your things you've been doing, floor is yours, man.
Well, for the most part, I've been doing Slightly Stupid. They've been working on a record for the past couple of years, and I've been a little bit a part of that process. Sometimes it's playing or just helping out with an idea. If Miles wants to bring in an idea, a couple chord changes, he'll get the whole band together. And usually I'm there either mostly on bass, sometimes guitar, to just kind of like help out, have another, a person in the process of putting things together. But mostly with them, been doing live stuff, teching for them and playing live with them. So they have me playing bass on a couple songs, mostly playing electric guitar. I play acoustic on a couple other things. Anything they can't get to live, mm-hmm, is basically what they'll have me do. Because they have two singers. The main singer plays guitar, or I should say whoever's singing, because they're both main singers. They, mm-hmm, split the catalog evenly. Whoever's singing, basically it's their song. Usually they wrote it or it's their song where they sing on it. They're the ones playing the guitar while the other one plays the bass. Mm-hmm. So it's very rare that they'll both be playing guitar, or we'll play a song that I'm stepping in on bass and the other one of the guys is just singing and not playing. But it does happen. It does happen. Yep. And the more we're writing together is kind of like, or I wouldn't say writing together, but more I'm a part of the process of what they're doing in the studio, the more I get to play bass and stuff like that. So that has been taking up most of my summers. Mm-hmm. So, like I said before, when I'm with the kids, I got three kids and they're very active, and Slightly Stupid schedule works out for me.
Yep.
Cause I get to basically, I don't work much, like only like weekends or a week or two here and there when my kids are in school. Mm-hmm. So I do most of my touring, solid touring with them during the summer.
Okay.
And I might pick up other bands here and there, but I won't go on long tours.
Yeah.
And it's just, I try to keep it to summer because I'm basically raising my children.
Mm-hmm.
And, so what I find myself doing during the school months and when I'm not touring is I'm working on the Meek stuff.
Yep.
Now, the Meek stuff, it takes a very long time.
Mm.
You know, the most we can really work is like once a week.
Mm.
And that's if everyone's schedule's working out, you know. So. Yeah. So we do very little writing together, or should I say, we don't get to do it we don't get to do it often. So, mm-hmm, usually it falls into my lap of having to write everything myself. But it's always, I always try to make it to where it's like, if they have ideas, let's get over to my house real quick. Let's record all the ideas. Sometimes it'll be eight or nine ideas at one time. And I'll go and try to finish all the songs.
Sure.
Sometimes it's one riff, sometimes it's two. So the album, we're about to release an album, but we released one 10 years ago, and this is how long it's taken to write, record, you know, yeah. A whole new album. It's taken 10 years. So, because I've been on the road since that time, since 2014 is when I left Alien Ant Farm. I immediately started working for Limp Bizkit. And then right after that, I started working for Godsmack. Then I became Soli Ernaz, the singer of Godsmack. Yep. I became his solo project bassist.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I play with that. Whenever he does that project, I play bass and sing and guitar and mandolin with him. And then I got this gig with Slightly Stupid. And it just so happened to be that my ex-wife and I were divorcing and splitting up, and I was taking the kids. Mm-hmm. So I was living in Boston at the time, moved across country with my three kids, became the custodial parent of my three kids. And at that point, Slightly Stupid schedule of just working in the summer and occasional, you know, one-offs, maybe once a month, maybe twice a month, maybe once every other month.
Yeah.
It really worked out for me because I was able to, you know, pay for all the bills and make enough money to do what I had to do, but at the same time, raise my children with the help of my mom, of course. You know? Yeah. So that really worked out. And while that was happening, I do the Meek project. Now, there's other things I do too. I've been producing bands. There's this one project I'm working on right now called the Meager Kings.
Okay.
Where I'm playing guitar and bass in that. But the songs come to me written, and I basically get the musicians together, and we record the music, and then the singer sings the songs. And we try to do a lot of, like, guest artists and stuff. That's kind of a big thing to do in the – in the like the reggae world, mm-hmm. the reggae, they do a lot of that stuff. So I've been working with bands like that. Doing a lot of studio work, where it'll be both people hire me to come into the studio and play, hearing the song for the first time, or they'll just send me one song at a time, and just like, oh, how much is it going to cost to have you play on a track?
Yeah.
So I do a lot of stuff, and thank God, I get to be home to do all that stuff. And I really do enjoy being home more, but than being on the road. Maybe my opinion would change if I got to do what I wanted to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
My stuff. But you know, being on the road, it's with Slightly Stupid and Godsmack and Limp Bizkit, it allowed to do like more of like a first class touring where you're getting taken care of, you know, mm-hmm. you have the catering and all that stuff. You have the, you know, you're flying everywhere, or if you're in a bus, you're in a nice bus and everything's taken care for you. Yeah. You know, you just have to go to work. So, you know, being a band and doing that is great. Mm-hmm. Is the best. It's the best job in the world. But if you don't get to do that, and you're like in a van, or, you know, not that there's anything wrong with that, but when you go long distances for long tours, that's pretty rough.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I love the small gigs. I love the little bars and the little clubs and taking a van or a Sprinter or whatever to the gig, or even just my car. I love doing that stuff. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, but I feel like that's kind of a more of a local kind of thing that you can do, you know, on the weekends or something, you know.
Yeah.
But not touring, so that's kind of hard. But, like I said, the Meek stuff, we just finished a record. We just mastered it. We're starting to do shows. Our first show is this weekend, April 12th, I believe, Saturday. We're playing down in San Diego at the Harp, which is in Ocean Beach, owned by Miles one of the lead singers of Slightly Stupid.
Okay.
And then next weekend we're playing a show up here, in Riverside. We're getting ready to, you know, working on the album artwork and getting the merch ready, and we're gonna go to vinyl on this one. Last one we did CDs.
Right on.
But we're gonna do vinyl on this one, and try to make it. I don't know if I want to make it like a whatever colored disc or something like that. I still have a lot to learn about all that stuff, because I'm painting. I'm doing the artwork of the actual album cover.
Oh, sweet.
And stuff. So that's the thing with Meek. It's a passion project. It's art related, and it's, you know, for the most part, it's my art with, you know, with Joe Hill and Dan Hill mixed in there with it. You know, I try to make it as much of a band as possible. And I really love working with those guys. And, you know, they've been heroes of mine since I was a kid, first kind of getting into the music scene. So it's amazing to have a band with those guys. And, but for the most part, it's like, you know, I write the lyrics, I sing all the songs, you know, I'm doing the artwork, and I don't really have any, you know, it might be a suggestion here or there to maybe not say this or whatever, but for the most part, it's kind of just like whatever I want to do goes.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that, you know, that they kind of see the vision too. And, and they're kind of like, yeah, man, if that's what you want to do, let's just go, let's do it, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm glad that they allow their music or their parts that they write to be a part of what I do as well. So it's really cool.
Yeah. And it says something about like you as like not only as a musician, but like as a person to be able to like keep doing all these things, not only because a lot of people would jump to the term, oh, hired gun or something like that, but like clearly you're in the creative process, like with these groups and doing your own stuff. So I guess like as the years go on, man, and like how do you keep that shit going? Like how do you keep it going and being able to create?
Well, creation and like creativity and writing and all that stuff is what I would consider what I do the most.
Mm-hmm.
As far as like hired gun and all that stuff, I don't really consider myself like a hired gun or a bassist or whatever. I consider myself like a songwriting musician.
Mm-hmm.
And I got good at my craft from, or say like playing bass or guitar or whatever, just because I loved it so much.
Yeah.
You know, it was my video games basically, because I wasn't into video games. So I learned how to play and, you know, like basically was like learning how to play like Primus and 311 and Mr. Bungle. Learning, and those stuffs are
the real hard stuff.
That's real hard stuff. But at the time, I didn't realize it was.
Yeah.
It was just something that I wanted to do with someone someday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was fortunate enough to do that. Like in high school, I found a couple friends that wanted to play that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to play that stuff. And I still to this day play that stuff with those guys, you know. And I love it. You know, I didn't realize it was hard or not back then. You know, I realize it now because, you know, when I try to go learn something like that, I'm like, man, how many hours did I spend learning this? Because like, I only want to spend like 10 to 20 minutes learning stuff now.
For sure.
You know, but back then it was like, I would probably, you know, I would say it probably, without even thinking about it, but it probably took me like weeks to learn Primus stuff.
Yeah.
And I was just like, forget it. I'm just going to sit here and I won't stop until I learn it, you know?
Yeah.
So that, I mean, I'm glad I have that drive and dedication, but I felt like I started writing stuff like as soon as I could learn how to play and started wanting to record, and always had a very strong vision of what music should do, you know? And I don't know if it's right or wrong, but it's right for me.
Yeah.
You know? And that's kind of like with Ant Farm. I felt like I was, you know, more of the dominating force in that band, especially when it came to writing and stuff. Like it was kind of like, and you can tell now when you listen to the material they're putting out now compared to the material when I was there, it's a complete difference.
Very
you
different.
Know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I know they're writing more with people now, and I'm just not there,
yeah.
You know? And when you listen to the Meek stuff, you go, oh, okay, that's probably the guy that wrote the Ampharm stuff.
Yeah.
So you can tell there's a strong, you know, resemblance to what I do versus what, you know, like the Meek stuff and the Elaine Ampharm stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just a creative kid, like a lot of imagination. I was always dressing up and mimicking like movies and stuff. I wish I could have been an actor. Ended up being a musician. And that was just because, I didn't need lessons to kind of figure out how the instrument worked.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of press and play on a cassette. But, you know, like acting and stuff, it's like my parents didn't know anything about that. You know, my parents, you know. So it was always just a very, you know, creative mind, making stuff up, paying attention to details, stuff like that. So I don't feel like that's gone anywhere. If anything, I feel like I've maybe become more creative by doing less.
Yeah.
You know, I used to be the person that would want to write because, you know, being into Primus and Bungle and stuff like that, I'd be the guy that wanted to come up with the cool bass lick and the cool guitar part, even with the drums, that would be like, oh man, that's really cool. Now let's try to figure out how to sing to that or how to make that normal. Now it's kind of the other way around. It's like, let's get these two really cool chords that sound great together. Now, how do we make this thing sound interesting?
Yeah.
And it's not like a matter of overplaying. It's just like, how can we just spin it to make it sound a little cooler than just sitting here and just playing a normal bass line or something over it?
Is it hard not to overplay as a bassist? I'm a drummer. I don't know. But like, I feel like bass being bass,
I feel like drums is the hardest to hold yourself back.
I agree. Yeah. Actually, yeah, good point.
Drummers are always the one where you're like, oh man.
No more fills, please.
Yeah, just like, have you ever heard Four on the Floor before? Right. Have you ever heard what a backbeat is? And, you know, it's like, I just want embellishments here, not
everywhere. Too many cymbal crashes.
Yeah, as a bassist, no, I think it's probably the easiest.
Mm-hmm.
I think, at least for really, I would say bass players that I'm attracted to, I always feel like they're probably usually the driving force of the band.
Yes.
They're usually the band leader.
Mm-hmm.
And that being said, the band leader usually, unless he's probably Eddie Van Halen, usually probably playing for the song. But then again, there's an argument for Eddie Van Halen is playing for the song. Because I don't think someone like that, is doing the wrong thing. I think he's absolutely doing the right thing for those songs, you know? But yeah, as a bassist, I think almost any bassist that has really studied the craft, they would probably say that, you know, playing for the song is what it's all about. Mm-hmm. Being tasty is what it's all about. You know, I look for opportunities to put bass fills in, but I usually don't find them.
Yeah.
You know, I usually don't sit there and go, I think this would improve the song.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't improve the song, it's really hard for me to play it. Like, I really have to convince myself to play something that's a little bit more than what I should play. I would rather write a part that would be overplaying from the beginning and make it an actual part than play like a part that feels really good and just mess it all up for a bar, you know?
Yeah.
I'd rather do that.
Yeah, because I don't think I couldn't think of anything better, in my opinion, when listening to music. Like a tasty bass lick is like, or like just like bass that stands out, in my opinion, I guess, is just, I'm not a big lyric guy. It sounds very shallow. When I listen to a song, I listen to the
music.
I'm not
either.
Yeah. So I love the unpeel stuff and like really dig it. And I think bass is like, when it really stands out, of course, you got guys like Les Claypool, you mentioned Primus and all them guys. But like, yeah, you're right. I'm just kind of agreeing with you, man. Like, I don't think there's anything better than that killer like bass hook, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of on everything, you know, When you hear a drummer, like, I love Busy Drummers. Mm. I mean, Herb is like my guy.
Yeah.
And he's very busy. But some of the coolest stuff is just the little accents, like, coming back into, like a song like Damn Blue Collar Tweakers, for example. Mm-hmm. And they finish the chorus there and they do a little guitar lick, which is super cool. And then he just accents like a couple splashes and then goes to like the octobong or something and yep. just comes right back into the normal, the verse beat. And it's just, man, that's so tasty.
Yeah.
You know, I love that stuff. I just taste is everything.
Yeah.
I think no matter.
Yeah.
If it has to be busy, or if it has to be mellow, or if it has to be, even if it's not there, like
yeah.
a bass player or anybody in music should always be like, I'm prepared not to play at all.
Yeah.
Should be the approach to every song.
Right. And Primus is like one of those bands where all of them are locked in and they're all like yeah. the masters of, and like,
yeah.
like you said, Herb, like I don't, you can't get much better than that. You have, of course, like guys like Pert and Keith Moon, but Herb yeah. is like the one who like can lock in something that you're not expecting. I remember hearing John the Fisherman for the first time and my mind was blown. Like that.
Yeah.
Like it was, I don't know. It was nuts.
See, I grew up on The Police.
Oh yeah.
So when I heard Herb, I was like, oh my gosh, here's Stuart Copeland. But like modern Stuart Copeland.
Mm-hmm.
Double Kick and all that stuff. Yeah. So, I mean.
Yeah,
same kind of thing. I mean, I love players that I guess you'd say overplay, but it's all about taste,
yeah.
you know. But I don't think it's I don't think it's hard. I'm always from the opposite end of playing. I'm always from do the least, and if you can do more, do it. But
yeah.
You really should convince yourself if you need to do it or not.
For
know?
Sure, for sure. I want to talk a little bit about the Alien Ant Farm years, just out of curiosity, man. So, with nowadays looking back at like at Alien Ant Farm, it came up during the time of like Korn and like guys like that. What would you place, like if you had to describe the sound or the genre maybe, or what style it would be, how would you describe it?
I think it's an alternative hard rock.
Okay.
I don't think it's new metal, even though we dabbled in it a little bit. Mm-hmm. New metal was really popular at the time. And, you know, we were all like, I wasn't a metal kid.
Mm-hmm.
The other guys in my band, the other three were very metal kids. And I was more of like, I kind of came up on like the industrial scene.
Okay.
And, you know, more like, the gothic kind of stuff, not like heavy deep into it, but was kind of more into that kind of stuff. Very melodic type
mm-hmm.
music and not so aggressive.
Yep.
And as I started kind of getting into music, aggressive things were introduced to me. The most aggressive band that I was probably really got into as a kid was probably Jane's Addiction.
Oh, okay.
Or Bad Brains.
Yep.
And I would say Jane's and Bad Brains are a huge influence on Alien Ant Farm sound.
Yep.
And my writing style as well is like, so I would say those bands and then the grunge era, you know, Smashing Pumpkins,
mm-hmm.
Pixies, though I consider them more like a Jane-Z, you know, that hard rock post hair metal, or actually it was happening during hair metal, but it wasn't a part of it. It's what killed it is
yeah.
what I would say. A lot of people say it's Nirvana. I disagree. I think mm-hmm. it was more Jane's Addiction and just the alternative scene in general that killed hair metal. People wanted to be more emotional and have music that was more emotional.
Yep.
And not so party and, you know, tough
right.
guy that wears lipstick.
Spandex, but, yeah.
yeah, yeah. I never kind of got how tough those guys all were, but they'd all wear girl stuff. That kind of tripped me out. I was never into it.
Okay.
I was really never into it. Like, I mean, I can't even Yeah, I don't even think there was a single band that'd be like, I didn't really like that scene, but this band, no, I think I really just didn't like it all, and that's okay. It's okay if I didn't get all of it, Yeah, I didn't like the Beatles for a long time, and I force fed myself on the Beatles, and now I think they're the greatest band in the world. See, and that's okay. We all learn. We all grow. But yeah, those guys were metalheads. I was like alternative scene, and I feel like there were some things that we took from the nu metal world, and I like we wanted to do that whole seven string guitar because I play a six string bass, and I play a six string bass not because of nu metal, because of Les Claypool. So we wanted to make it, we wanted to do that corn thing, and it just, I, for some odd reason, it wasn't vibing at the time with Terry playing a seven string, and he kind of had his heart set on playing one when we first created this band, and it just, he just really didn't like it. I don't think he was ready for that like baritone type guitar tone. He does it now, but he didn't do it back then. And we just made the tuning to where it was like, we'll play standard, which I always thought was really cool, is that we were in the world of down tuning and seven string guitars, and we were just like, we're gonna play six string guitar, we'll have a six string bass, but we're just gonna invert the chord, and we'll play where I'm playing the root note, and the guitar player is playing the fifth as his lowest note, and then the root note on top, which made it sound heavy, which had that real, heavy sound. It was like as if we were a nu metal band. So there was like elements like that that we wanted to do. Of course, like I feel like Terry was heavily influenced with Korn when they first came out, because he wanted to add a lot of that and all those little sounds, which for me, us playing that stuff, I feel like we were probably entertaining him to do that, but that eventually kind of worked its way out of our sound, and it was kind of just a short-lived thing. But I would say we're more of a I would say we're more of a influenced by Smashing Pumpkins, Stone Temple Pilots, Dixie's Jane's Addiction, Bad Brains, obviously Primus, a little Bungle in there as well, with all the Mike Patton projects, the Faith No Mores and stuff like that. I would say we were, when we first got together, we were more heavily influenced by that stuff, which I'm sure the new metal bands were as well. It's just that, but then, we started getting into like more Latin and reggae and started kind of just going everywhere. I always felt like I was always like the Pink Floyd, Radiohead, kind of like more into the psychedelic stuff. And that's what like Meek is more like that. It's kind of like Meek is more of what I wish Alien Ant Farm would have been. Not at the beginning. Don't get me wrong. But what it would have turned into was what I should say. It's more what I wish Alien Ant Farm would have became. But yeah, hard rock, alternative, a touch of nu metal, I guess.
Yeah, man, because I mean, like growing up, when I would listen to those first couple albums, it was like, of course, Smooth Criminal was the thing that introduced me. And then, like, going back and listening to, everything else, it just seems like basically everything you just touched on, like, it is a cool mix of a little bit of all these different styles that normally wouldn't really intersect. And I feel like, and I think it's with every popular genre at the time, but especially with a genre like nu metal, like you have the big ones, you got Limp, you got Korn, all them guys, and then you got the B, C tiers, it keeps going down like that. And I'd imagine it gets oversaturated like hell. And was it tough to navigate back then? Do you remember to like really get like keep your head above like the others and like to really stand out?
Fortunately for us, we didn't sound like anybody coming up except for Incubus when they turned their style around.
Okay.
So we kind of have that same thing that Incubus was doing a little bit before they did it. And we really stood out with a lot of people because, I mean, we were playing with all those bands back then, you know, the Korns, the Deftones, System of a Down, the Hoobastanks, the Incubuses. We were playing with all those bands that got a lot of success, and I don't think we sounded like them at all, but we were fortunate enough to have the same draw, mm-hmm. to have the same crowd and stuff. You know, I think we were closer to like 311 than we were, you know, it's a complete different vibe, but we were more closer to that kind of style than we were of like System of a Down and stuff. Every time we would hang out with those guys or, you know, like say a festival or something like that, I always felt like we were kind of like the bastard stepchild. Mm. I never felt like we were accepted in the metal world, and all those guys were metal.
Yeah.
You know, like we were really good friends with Papa Roach. They were responsible for us getting a record deal with DreamWorks, and they were welcomed with open arms into that scene.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they became friends with everybody, Slipknot and Korn and all those guys. Love those guys. I mean, everyone loves Papa Roach. Is such an amazing band. But I don't feel like we were. I don't feel like we were accepted.
Do you think that in retrospect too, like looking back, like or was that has that been the same feeling for you even today?
It's been the same feeling even today. That we were never really accepted in that. I always felt like we were that band that like everyone was kind of wondering, like, why are they so popular or why are they doing so well? Or, you know, I think, you know, obviously the Michael Jackson song helped mm-hmm. out a lot. But are other couple songs that actually had a chance at gaining some popularity did, and they did well.
Mm-hmm.
And but the thing was, is when we came out on stage, like we like played our asses off.
Yeah.
And I think people saw that. And that was kind of one of those things. It's like, you know, they might not have been into our music. And some guys were. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, James Hetfield, we were his favorite band for a while.
Oh, you nice. Know?
And that was really cool. Hearing guys like Steven Tyler were like, oh, man, I love that band. You know, that is really, really cool. You know, that was amazing. To get those kind of compliments and have those kind of people be into your stuff. I know Fred Durst was a big fan. It was the 311 guys were big fans. You know, it was, we did get love where love was due. But like I said, I kind of felt like we were kind of right outside that metal scene. Like we weren't like quite into it, you know?
Yeah. Like, it sounds like a cool spot to be and have your own kind of thing going on. But in reality, it's like when it comes to like success and stuff like that, I mean, I guess that has to be a bummer, man. I guess not being able to really, I don't know. I wouldn't know, but
I mean, we did what we did.
Yeah.
You know, we hung out with some people, we've butted heads, we've gotten along, we've done, you know, like, you know, Linkin Park took us out. We became great friends with them.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of, you know, there was a lot of good bonuses. And, and I don't know, maybe it was our fault because we weren't so into those bands that, you know, that we didn't, you know, like really get along with them or something, you know, maybe we would have, I don't know if we were savvy enough back then to be like, who cares if you like them or not? Like you should be cool to everybody. Everyone's in the club.
For sure.
You know, I kind of felt like we had this whole, like, kind of attitude. Like, oh, I don't like that band, so I don't want to go over there and, like, talk to them or anything because I really don't like their music. And that's not really the way to be. You know, that in retrospect, looking at that, That's yeah. not the way to be. The way to be is everyone's got their own thing going on, and
and
everything is cool. You know, there's a market for everything, and everything's mm-hmm. cool. You know, to some people or to a lot of people.
Right.
You know, just go out there and make friends with all these people. You know, you don't have to. You don't have to be like, oh, I really like your band, so we could try to be friends now.
Yeah,
you know?
Let's force ourselves to be friends.
Yeah. Be friends with everybody. So, I mean, I guess in retrospect, it wasn't a bummer. I think maybe it was our fault, you know?
Yeah.
Well, Might have been.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I remember, like, back, like, as a kid, I remember watching, like I said before, like, the Smooth Criminal video, of course, was the first one. Thing I've ever seen from you guys, and I went from there and started listening to all your other stuff, and grossly underrated, I think you Alien Ant Farm was, like, I think that's objective to think, in my opinion. I think grossly underrated, because, like, that is, it was an interesting sound. It was something of its own. It's not a copycat of anything. It's like its own thing. And another thing, for when it comes to you specifically, in that music video, your presence on it with the dancing and the lip sync and that is what made me, like, really remember you guys and really stick to your guys' music. And like that was huge for me. And I was wondering, like, it's no secret that you have a stage presence live in a live setting. Is that something that you've always had? Is that something that you had to like remind yourself? I got to be moving around. I got to be doing this, have more energy. Is that kind of natural to you to have?
Yeah, it's very natural. Yeah. But it's kind of weird. It only happens in situations where I feel like I can do that.
Mm.
You know, like, the music almost has to, like, be in a certain, like, way or whatever for me to unleash that, you know? Yeah. And I love unleashing that, you know? It is so thrilling. It's gotta be, to me, I would describe it as like running for a touchdown pass
mm-hmm.
and getting it and celebrating, but it's like doing it for an hour.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what it feels like. It's so overwhelming to just, like, emotionally and everything, you know, passionately and everything, to just be completely free, you mm-hmm. know, and behave in that manner, you yeah. know. And a lot of people would say that it's a put on, and, you know, I could say to a certain extent, but, you know, it is a self-expression.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's great to entertain people as well. But especially with Alien Ant Farm, I catch myself in rehearsals doing it.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I rarely play music, period, where my eyes are open and they're looking at the fretboard.
Mm-hmm.
It's always like just singing and listening.
Yeah.
And I'll find myself really, you know, I catch myself a lot of times just doing stuff like in a rehearsal or a played setting. But, you know, when I'm like with Slightly Stupid, I don't, there's only like one song that makes me feel like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually, you know, I perform according to how the music makes me feel, you know,
yeah.
and that's what it is. Like with the Meek stuff, I don't really do it as much because it's a little more mellow. It's a little more Floyd-y. Plus I'm stuck to the microphone. I was stuck to the microphone with Alien Ant Farm too, but
mm-hmm.
I wasn't stuck as much as I am with Meek. You know, Meek, it's like, I'm playing the bass. I'm hitting all these effects. I'm even hitting vocal effects. I'm, you know, it's a lot of stuff. So it's, you know, I kind of have to stand in place and
yeah,
do my thing, but yeah.
Right.
That's basically was. It's just a self-expression and having that overwhelming feeling of just amazingness.
Yeah, know? For sure. And earlier you mentioned that you have a record coming out. So with Meek, I believe.
Yeah.
So what you want to? Can you tell us anything about it? What to expect?
So my last record was called Red Sprite Lightning, mm-hmm. and it was a fictional concept record based off a nonfiction story.
Okay.
So it was basically about my divorce, the main guy, who was actually played by Peanut from 311, he was leaving the family, like the divorce, but he was leaving to go to space, right?
Yeah.
And he was going to be gone forever and all that stuff. So it ends up being this whole story about this breakup and whatever, and how this guy used this excuse of going to save the planet, or help save the planet, or help save the species.
Mm-hmm.
But really the reason why he left is because of him and his wife don't love each other anymore, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what that whole record. So this record is finding a new love.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically the experiences of two people growing together and doing new things and a lot of the firsts and having all these moments and stuff. So I was just heavily inspired by what was going on in my life at the time. I try to be as honest as I could possibly be. Obviously, you can't be 100% honest, but it's what's in my head. It's what's going on in my life. I write about it, you know? And so it's a lot of like lovey-dovey stuff, but the music is not super lovey-dovey. It's got its moments, but it starts off with two songs back to back that really punch you in the face, harder than anything I think I've done before in Meek. Probably something more like real similar to what I would have done with Alien Ant Farm.
Okay.
Like a heavy Alien Ant Farm song. From there on, it's got some more mellow stuff. I tried to make it more psychedelic this time. I put a little bit of R&B in there.
Nice.
I put a little bit of Cardigans in there. There's a lot of bass tapping in it.
Sweet.
Yeah. There's a couple of really good guitar solos, a lot of good vocal harmonies. Just so, you know, overall, just some really good playing and some really good songwriting.
Yeah.
You know, nothing too commercial. Like, to me, it doesn't matter if you write a song that's poppy or hit or whatever. Like,
no.
If it's coming out of you, write it. Yeah. You know? Stick with it, you know? Yep. So that's basically what it is. It's just an album full of that stuff. And it was honestly, I mean, we probably wrote maybe 15, 16 or so ideas for this album, and 10 songs got finished and we're putting out 10 songs.
Right on.
So, and I think, you know, I think there it's, every single song, every single part is 100% the truth of what we want to be doing.
So
mission accomplished already, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if it does well. If people, like, if I make merch and they want to buy it, if I make records and they want to buy them, that's awesome. Like, thank you for contributing, because the more you contribute, the more that I get to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to do it regardless, but, you know. I want to share this with everybody, but if they like it or not, it doesn't really matter, because I love it. So,
right? Hell yeah!
That's what I did it for. I did it for me, so I can listen to it. So I'm really happy and stoked about it. I can't wait to release it. And this time around, I'll make sure not to read the comments.
Oh yeah! Oh, that's step one, man.
Read the comments. I mean, all these comedians. Oh man, don't read the comments. Like, don't get in there. I'm like, come on, man. I like talking smack. I like trolling. I like messing with people. So I like writing jokes. And everyone's so easily offended now, and whatever. It's just, you know, I dig a good joke. I was like, I don't care if you make fun of me, but make me laugh.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Make it a good one.
Yeah. Don't just be like, you suck. I hate you. It's like, dude, okay, that was easy.
Why do I suck? Tell me why I suck.
Yeah, that was me. Like, Like, I hope you're a ripping ass bass player if you're just going to say I suck.
Yeah.
I hope you're an amazing songwriter. I really do. Because, like, you know how you said you don't like lyrics and all that? Or, not that you don't like them, but it's not why you listen to music. I don't either.
Yeah.
And I had to write all the lyrics for these albums, and I had to sing them, and I had to make them all make sense, and I had to sit there and go through a thesaurus and all that stuff. And if you want to say that, hey, dude, you're a terrible lyricist because these lyrics sound like you got them out of a thesaurus, then okay, you got me. You know? you're right. I do. I do. Absolutely.
Man, but Ty, man, thanks for hopping on. This was a blast. I really thank you for it, and I'm pumped for the album, especially we have some psychedelic stuff in it. I'm a sucker for that, so I'm pumped for it. Do we have a date for it, or is that still to be announced?
No, not yet. So it got sent to me yesterday.
Okay.
So I just got the master final yesterday. I've got to go to TuneCore and all that stuff to set it up so it goes all to the streaming outlets.
Yep.
And from there, I'll probably start figuring it out with us playing shows and kind of getting out there and playing the stuff again. I want it to come out pretty soon. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we should do, like, let's just release it digitally and then start taking orders for a vinyl, or if we should do, like, a lot of bands do that. Every month they'll release a song, or every week they release a song. That whole battle plan hasn't been decided yet. It's just going to start right now. Streaming wise, I would release it today if it was up to me, you know. But there's a couple things that I gotta make sure of. So I have the album cover ready to go. As far as like taking pictures and getting the album art ready, that's kind of the next step I have to take before I can pursue the streaming portion of it.
Okay.
Because I at least have to have the album cover with all the stuff that it needs to go with on the streaming service. I would love to have the lyrics on there.
Yeah.
So all that stuff, I have to, that's what I'm going to start researching now.
Right.
But,
on.
I'm in merchandise land and play show land. So, it'll probably take a couple weeks. I imagine.
Yeah.
I just get figured out. And then I'll, through social media, I'll release all the dates and all that stuff.
Yeah. Right on. Well, I'm pumped. I can't wait. And before we go, though, with socials, websites, any plugs, anything else you want to get out there, the floor is yours.
Well, right now, if you can, I know a lot of people see the Meek thing and they think it says Mech. I know it's hard. It's the phonetical dictionary spelling. But you can pretty much find us on all streaming outlets. It's the Macron. Above the E, that's a real hard thing to find. Mm. If you want to listen to the band right now on all streaming services, look up Red Sprite Lightning. That's the name of the album. If you do Meek, it's the M. On Apple, if you press the E and hold it down, I think it's number 7. It does the line.
It pops up, then, yeah.
Yeah, and then if you put the K, it will pop up on the streaming services. Mm-hmm. So I know that's a little hard. So, I mean, if anything, I would love to get people just to listen to the album. Other than that, you can follow me at Tyemus, T-Y-E-M-U-S, on Instagram, Facebook, Ty Zamora, Meek Band, M-E-K, I don't think it has the Macron or anything, like at M-E-K Band. On Instagram, and I believe Official Meek Band or Official Meek on Facebook. Just go over there and follow us, and please stream and listen to the music. The more people listen to it, I mean, we would love to come and play in your town. We would love to reach further than California, Arizona, Nevada. We would love to go further. So, I mean, I'm really proud of it, and I hope people check it out, and I'd love to get out there and play this stuff for you guys.
Heck yeah, man. So, Ty, thanks for hopping on. Like I said, this was a blast. Hope I didn't take up too much of your time. But,
we're good.
Cool. So, everyone, thanks for listening. You heard where to find them. Keep an eye out for that new album, whenever that may be dropping. And also make sure to follow Rage Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. We're on all the socials. Google us, will pop up. So thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
My boots would look good on your bed, and I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. Take you home tonight.